Welcome to Target Talks. I'm Sarah Bryars, Chief Executive at Target, an award-winning communications agency, and I'm joined by my co-host and fellow director, Sam Candiali.
Hi there.
In the conversations we're having with our clients, we know that more and more organisations are thinking about their purpose and how they enact it.
In this series, we explore the value of purpose-led communications and how we can deliver purposeful PR. We'll be chatting with guests with a wide range of specialisms and views on the topic.
So if you're thinking about how you and your organisation can be a force for good, this podcast is here to help you on your journey. Today we're talking with Simon Heinrich, co-founder and managing director of Commercial, the firm of business transformation specialists who describe what they do as applying original thinking to everyday practices, helping businesses to adapt and succeed in today's challenging environment from the inside out. Simone's energy and determination has taken her from swimming gold as a teenager at the Commonwealth Games to today's international business stage, enthusing firms to be a force for good. Simone and her extraordinary team have forged a path grounded in social and environmental sustainability, honoured with more than 150 national and international awards. And in 2015, the business founded a social enterprise, Commercial Foundation, to help young people who have experienced barriers to employment to develop personal resilience and practical workplace skills. Commercial is committed to reaching the ambitious target of carbon net zero by 2028. Simone, welcome. You've set a bold ambition, but it's not something that's come out of the blue, is it? So can you begin by telling us a little bit of your sustainability story so far, how it started, and what you first tackled? How did it all come about?
Of course I can. So back in 2006, Commercial had been going for about 16 years, and I was a business development manager. So I founded the company and worked my way through. And our biggest client at the time was BSkyB. Mm-hmm. And it was the first company that I'd ever come across that starts to talk about purpose in line with economics and finance and all of that sort of thing. And I was invited to an event to see Al Gore, and Al Gore had just brought out the movie The Inconvenient Truth. Mm. And it was at the Tate in London, and it was a wonderful event, and there were really interesting people there and famous people there. And I sat down and thought, oh, I think I've kind of made it here. And then he started to talk about The Inconvenient Truth, which, although this was 16 years ago, was everything that we're discussing now. Mm. So it was the tipping point. Mm. It was the Earth's temperature rising. And what were we doing as business people to make sure that we looked at our negative impact? And I kind of sunk down in my chair and I realised we didn't even recycle a piece of A4 paper.
Wow.
And that was, I call it, probably the biggest epiphany moment that I've had. Commercial's been going for 32 years, and that was an epiphany moment where I literally drove back to the office in Cheltenham, which I was in a gas-guzzling car at the time, as fast as I could, and kind of marched into the boardroom and said, we're going to be the most sustainable company out there, and it's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be great for the company, and we're going to draw clients to us. And I think my brother kind of looked at me with shock and horror on his face. And that was kind of how it all started.
Because you're a family business, so you and Arthur founded it together. And
yes, so it was myself, Arthur, and a university friend
yeah.
who had founded the business.
Yeah.
But as I said, it was a good business, really successful. And it'd been going for a good 15, 16 years. Mm. So I always go, there was life before sustainability. Yes. But it was that epiphany moment that I absolutely believe changed the shape of our company yeah. for the better on many, many levels.
And how did you decide where to start? So you'd had this kind of, we have to change, we have to do something. With your passion and enthusiasm, brought it into the team.
Yeah.
But how did you know, even back then when it was less talked about, how did you make decisions about where to start that?
So, first of all, Sky put on the event, and obviously there were people talking apart from Al Gore, so I simply picked up the phone, realising that I know nothing. I believe we're all on a lifelong learning path, if you like. Yeah. So I picked up the people to the event, and then I kind of, as you do as a business owner, grabbed those who would follow me in whatever I did. And I think I got about 8-10 people together and decided that we were going to make a plan. if anybody watches the movie, which I'd highly suggest that people do, and then think back, oh my God, this was 16 years ago, we've known about this for a long time. But it does get to the end of that, you're kind of left feeling quite sick about the future. There's a lot of fear in it, and there isn't a lot of, well, this is what you can do. And I wanted to turn the wheel on that. And I decided quite quickly that we would host an event the following February. So this was about July, August time. And we would invite all of our customers. We'd invite all of our suppliers. I got Sky to allow us to show the movie, The Inconvenient Truth. And then I stood up and I said, if you feel anything like I feel like now, you probably are quite nervous. You want to do something. You don't know whether to run outside and cry or, you know, well, we've been working on something for 6 months, but 6 months ago we knew nothing. And I'm going to tell you what we've done. I'm going to share some really ambitious targets that we're going to march towards. And if everybody thinks it's a great idea, we'll get together next year. And we'll talk about what we've all done. And that was how it started.
Yeah, amazing. And so from the very get-go, it's about how do you bring people with you?
Yeah.
And I think at that time particularly, as you say, it was not widely understood or talked about. And so in many ways, you're kind of being a disruptor, aren't you? You're kind of saying, let's change how we do everything. And that can sometimes unsettle people and make people feel a little bit unsure or nervous or even skeptical about it. So I know we've spoken about this many times, Simone, so I'm really interested in you sharing kind of how you then on that journey, how you brought people with you, because I know internally bringing staff and getting them involved and sharing their ideas, aspirations has been really important, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm such a believer in communicating in a way that we can all learn together. And I think that galvanizes people and it brings people together. So right at the beginning, I never wanted it to be a job that I'd give to one or two people and say, right, make us sustainable. That's not possible. You know, it needed to be at the center of anything. And that was just something intrinsically I felt. And it was kind of the way that we operated. So we showed The Inconvenience Truth to the whole company the night before. We made the most of the venue, as you do. And then I stood up and I said, look, we've been working in the background, a small group of us, but I'd like everybody to get involved. I don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. But, you know, what was really, really interesting is there were people, and I'm being fairly typical about myself, I was very sales and marketing orientated. And probably left a little trail of disaster behind me wherever I went. But I started to gain real respect for individuals, those quieter individuals who probably looked around the business and went, well, that's wasteful. And that's not working as efficiently as it could. And that was the biggest surprise to me. Culturally, it was the best thing we had ever done. And that became really quite clear quickly. It took down those barriers of sales and marketing. We'll tell everybody what to do. And we were a company who was quite like that. We can be like that a little bit from time to time. But, you know, it really leveled out that the people who are delivering everything to our clients, we talk about creating raving fans, you know, and being business transformation specialists, as you so wonderfully said at the beginning. You are reliant on working as one team, not operationally in sales and marketing and it being two. And sustainability is one of those things that brings every age group together, every role in the company together. And there's a really good feel-good factor if you're doing something about minimizing your negative impact and maximizing your positive impact. It feels great.
Very motivating.
Yes.
Very engaging. And we've talked before, and I know that you have a great program that you've developed called Change Champions, haven't you? And really getting people to be leading that change within.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
So that started, there's quite a funny little story in that. But so What Were the Eight started to get whingy and moany. And I wanted sustainability to breathe life culturally into our company. And after about 2 years, they were tired and they'd probably run out of ideas and people weren't doing everything that they should do. And I happened to be going to sell to Eurostar. And as you do, starting to look at all the background of their company and what they did in CSR and what are the synergies mm-hmm. between the two of us. And I read about this program called Tread Lightly, and there were 10 commitments. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. We should have some commitments, because we kind of said we're going to be reduce our carbon by 75% and be zero waste in 3 years. But there wasn't all the other things that yeah. we were doing anyway. So we wrote these 10 commitments. And at the time, it was called Green Angels, because it was like, you can be a green angel and then you can pass your green wings to somebody else. And a client that we'd done some work for around this did a logo for free for us. They were like a creative company. And so that started, and that's been amazing. We have won awards, and I'm really proud of those awards, and rightly so, I feel, because what you do is you take 8 people from around the organisation, so you're not keeping it with mm-hmm. that team of 8. They look at the commitments that we've put together. They have to transform our business for the better, so you can't do something for a day and then we all go mm-hmm. back to how we were. And then, you know, it's a little bit like The Apprentice, you know, but nobody gets fired at the end. You know, so they have roles that we choose, project manager. The project moves really quickly. They present to the board. They ask for a budget. They go about changing it. It costs you half as much as if you didn't have them working on it, because they really do look for those ways that they can do things really, really well and at the lowest cost. And then they roll out the project, and we do it in an aspirational way. So no red signs, you know, it should be a celebration yes. of where we are and where we're going.
Yes.
And I used to have to go around and go, come on, be on the programme. Now we run 4 programmes and we have people waiting to do it. And as you say, it's been rebranded as Change Champions because that kind of fits much more in all the other things that we do. So we've had all sorts of wonderful projects where everybody's learned how to give each other heart-to-heart resuscitation, to wow. building a bike shed, which a customer actually built for us, to changing our showers, to a live wall, to Fruity Fridays, all sorts of things. And the team are able to look and go, I did that. And then they take it back to their everyday roles. And with a newfound confidence, they've met new people, you know, in this day and age where people are hybrid working. And we now work with clients. It's a program that we creates revenue for the company and we help clients. It's really good for that engagement.
And I love that about having seen how you, we talk about from the inside out, but you've not only been making massive changes within your own organization and the learning and the continuous kind of development towards meeting those really bold targets, but now it informs everything that you do for your clients, doesn't it? So tell us a bit about how that feels now to be in a position where you're able to share that knowledge, that insight, that expertise, and be supporting other businesses too.
Really exciting. You know, I think we were in a position where energy bills became extremely high last year. It started to be a conversation that wasn't just a sustainable conversation in terms of the planet, but also for organisations. And I hadn't really stopped to think, but because of all these things we've put in place, we've done things and we've done it really quickly and we've won lots of awards. And then it was suddenly like, well, clients kept asking us, well, could you help us? And that's the fastest growing part of our company. And it feels amazing because, you know, we're helping organisations become carbon net zero. They're really interesting conversations. They're conversations for the long term. We're a very technical company, and there are lots of things that you can use technically. Quite often, you know, lots of people think it costs more. It doesn't cost more. There's cost savings attached to it. So it's just, you know, all of those things feel absolutely great.
Yeah, and I guess the range of the types of organisations that you're supporting is very broad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess those solutions will look very different in different businesses too.
Absolutely. I mean, you can imagine if you've got a care home or, you know, clients that we've got will have very different uses of energy. And it's about understanding what they are. And I think the reason that we've done really well and clients like working with us is we have embedded this in our business while being a successful business, and we've needed to do it quickly. So we're not out there to draw anything out. We're out there to get there as quickly as we can for our clients. Mm. And sometimes I think there can be consultancy out there that is consultancy for consultancy's sake, and then the consultants walk away and actually they don't really know what to do with all of that consultancy. So
yeah, and also I think you've touched on there, you know, a really important kind of central truth around being truly purpose-led as an organisation is that it's not about just doing things that are good for the sake of being good. I mean, it's actually, it has to intrinsically be supporting your business, because we have to be sustainable, we have to make profit. Absolutely. And actually, when we're thinking about purpose-led businesses, that's what we're trying to achieve, isn't it? To make sure that the way that we run our businesses can be successful through actually having good impacts and reducing negative impacts.
Absolutely. And it's very, very rare that there isn't a payback, you know, in 2 years. Mm. And quite often it's well before that. Mm. And the changes that we can help organisations make and we've made that it makes commercial sense from day one. Mm. So, you know, there was probably more investment in the early days for us because the technology wasn't there. It wasn't as readily available. It's been there for a long, long time, actually, but it wasn't as readily available. So,
And the other really interesting dynamic is obviously we've talked a lot about the kind of the environmental impacts, but the social impacts are really important to you as well, I know. And the Commercial Foundation was an important milestone in that, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that works and the contribution that makes as part of the group?
I'd love to. So that we started that in 2015. I felt that we didn't need the leadership that I was able to provide on the environmental side anymore. And it became clear that younger generation, through my ex-husband at the time was a teacher in an inner city school, and he would come back and there'd be tell me stories of young kids that I really felt, oh God, I wish they were a bit closer, because this was in Swindon. And then it got me thinking, well, actually, we've done a lot about our negative impact. There's stuff that we can do that's positive. Mm-hmm. And we set about building a program to work with 16 to 24-year-olds to help them get their lives back on track, mainly around finding employment or getting them back into education. Mm. And we call it the No Limits Program. It's a 12-week program. The difference is that it's embedded in a business, which is a supplier to commercial of digital print, wide format print, mugs, t-shirts, that sort of thing. So they're getting real work experience with two job coaches who then start to identify with them what are their interests, what are the stepping stones that are going to get them to where they want to go. And quite often people who don't have that support around them or who have lost all confidence can only see the end game of where they want to get to, and they probably need help to see what those stepping stones look like. And in the work experience, they can then start to go to interviews and talk about the work that they've done for Charlotte Tilbury or ITV or Sky or Currys or whatever, you know, and suddenly they're going in there and they feel confident they've been in a workplace. So yeah, it's hugely rewarding. It draws lots of people to come and work at Commercial, as does our sustainability program. So it has helped us bring talent into the organization because they want to work for a company that cares about more than profit. You know, you want to work for a successful company, and you know, you don't have to just focus on one for the other. I think we're a good example of that. And yeah, you know, the program has been great as well at drawing clients to Commercial.
Yeah. Because they're adding value by working with you.
Yeah, it's called social value through the supply chain.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you buy your business cards from a foundation that has a program for young adults at the core of it than somebody who's just there for the profit for themselves, that it's a no-brainer, really.
Absolutely.
And we've done all sorts of, COVID boxes for big retailers, and welfare packs for staff, store packs, all sorts of wonderful fulfillment. And sometimes when we're doing those little fulfillment jobs, you've got these 16 to 24-year-olds who had quite often become quite isolated. Mm. They're not an environment where you go, right, sit around a table and all talk to each other. It's like they're doing something. They're busy doing something repetitive, and conversation starts to build and confidence starts to build and friendships start to be made. So it was really, really tough. I'm not going to lie, at the beginning, it almost broke me. And it was really tough because it was going into a whole new arena where that is very different.
Mm.
The young adults come first.
Yes.
And the business comes second.
Mm.
And so that was a big learning curve for me, that the business wraps itself around those young adults, not there to serve, or that's something on the side. Mm. So there was lots of learning. So I love to learn. You know, I love to stretch myself, and lots of people in the organisation get involved in the foundation too.
Amazing. I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about measuring, because I know that commercial is forensic in its detail of measuring the progress you're making, the impacts environmentally and social impact, which we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about why that matters so much, and how do we decide where to focus? Is that what it's for? Is it helping you to decide, this is where we're at, here's where we go next?
The beginning of anything is measuring it. I mean, if I sat down and wrote down everything, well, I am doing that right now, everything that I ate all day, suddenly you start to look at what you're actually eating. So, yeah, if you measure anything, you start to manage it.
Mm.
And also you can celebrate every little movement in the right direction.
Mm.
So we worked, first of all, right at the beginning in 2006, the first thing we did was measure our waste and measure our carbon footprint. And we worked with the company up in Edinburgh, and it took far longer than it would take now. And it was a thick document, like an inch thick, whereas we do that for organisations straight away in their scope one and their scope two, really. And now we're measuring our scope three. And then for me as well, that outside verification, there's a lot of greenwashing. There's a lot of claimants of, you know, vegan, I don't know, people are talking about vegan bags and things like this, just made of plastic sort of thing. Things like that I find aren't helpful. So we use outside verification bodies always, who we invite in from the outside, so that everything is verified, everything is measured. As you say, there's over 50 metrics that we do in all different little areas, and we can see and improve and tweak things and change things and do something massive. And we've been measuring everything and layering up that measuring and layering up all of the good impacts as we go along. So there's over 130 initiatives which feed into our social impact, which is our ESGs, you know, environmental, social governance, and they're 60 metrics, and we just keep feeding them in and keep measuring more. And that means that you shout from the rooftops about the small good stories that you're doing, the big stories that you're doing, and everything else, because you have had it verified from the outside what you're doing.
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot with clients, about the importance of, I think people get a bit anxious these days, actually, about greenwashing, of accidentally straying into it.
Yes.
And it always comes back to, have the evidence.
Yeah.
And know that you can answer the questions.
Mm.
Know that you have the data, and particularly independently, to back you up, and then have the confidence to be able to talk about it.
Absolutely. Shout it from the rooftops, then, because if we're doing things good, and if you've got, you know, internally you've got staff doing small things, you know, we celebrate every little thing. We have our learning days, and at the beginning of our learning days, we have a shout out, you know, and everybody can feed into the success of the company.
Mm.
And that's what gives the energy. That's what raises the vibrations. It's what gives the company its great energy, because you're celebrating all of those good things. And we're not afraid to have difficult conversations as well, but it's not all doom and gloom like when you switch on the news.
Yes, true, true. And I think the other really interesting thing from a communications point of view around numbers. So we need numbers. It's really important that we have them because it's what helps us to evidence the changes that we're making and to make choices about where we're going next. But numbers can be really dry, can't they? And they can be quite hard to digest and to understand. So this, how do we find the balance as communicators to both have the powerful numbers which help people see the changes we're making and to be able to tell stories? And I know that storytelling is something that you guys do with real passion and to a very unusual degree, actually. If we talk about one of the projects you did in the last year or two, which was very much about storytelling.
The book.
Yeah, the book.
Ah, the children's book. So this, you know, we've had big stages, as you say. We focused on carbon, then we focused on waste, then we focused on the foundation. And then it came to me was, you know, what is it? If we could put everything that we do through the lens of a question, what would that question be? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it for a long time and came up with, are we being good ancestors?
Mm-hmm.
And this was as we came out of that really difficult period of COVID. And, you know, there had been a lot of children around going behind the screens as we'd been working from home and that sort of thing. And, you know, commercial is a big family, full of families, you know, and I quite often get people at commercial calling me with their kids' reports and things like that. Uh-huh. I feel like they're my children. And then when they get into university or something, I have people crying on the phone to me and I'm really crying with them and that sort of thing. So, you know, it seemed right to start to understand what their thoughts were. And my daughter was in lockdown with me, literally just finished university and started to do stuff with the kids because she's very creative. And then we decided to, they were all doing schoolwork, so it was a bit much, let's write a book and then let's have a great event at the end of it, which we called Dear World. Yeah. And we got the children of commercial to write a letter. And then since then, we have done a vegan cookbook and I've cooked with the kids at home and, you know, it's that was lovely. For me, you know, the lines of, well, this is home life and this is my personal ambition and this is my work ambition. It's all one now.
It's all one.
It is all one. And that's it. I'd like to think we've been down that path for a while with my colleagues because we've grown up together. I don't feel like their boss at all. I feel like their sister. Some of them would say their grandmother. I'm not having any of that. Yeah, doing stuff with the families and it becoming a family affair. And I have a bold ambition, but I've talked about it internally. I haven't really talked about it externally as yet, but you know, that will really bring families into commercial. You know, what are we going to do when we've got all this AI and we've got all this free time? Is it going to help us be more purposeful? Is it going to help us create communities? Is it going to give us the life, or are we just going to fill it with more technology? I'd like to think it's the first option. I would like to think we will be able to offer that to the staff of commercial and it will be hopefully as groundbreaking as the foundation was, or even more possibly.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yes.
Look forward to hearing more about that. That's for sure. I know there's lots of organisations out there who are wanting to find ways to communicate what they're doing and again, marry that creativity with reporting. And that's another really useful tool, isn't it, for businesses, the social impact reports or impact reports. And people call them different things.
Yes.
But we've worked together, had the opportunity to work together on a couple, which are lovely projects. But I think that's a really great example of how to bring the really important evidence-based measurements and calculations with the storytelling around what's happening, how you're getting there. So what I love is that you're always sharing. You're sharing your knowledge, sharing everything that you've understood and gained and learned the hard way often through the years of following your purpose as an organisation and putting it out there that we're not preaching to people, but it's here and you're welcome to use whatever might be useful in your businesses. And then you use those social impact reports, don't you? They're digitally produced, I should say, beautifully by your in-house team. And we love working with them on co-creating that.
Yes.
Then you take them and you use them in your conversations, don't you, with clients?
Yeah, I think what's been good for us with that, because I would have said ours was drier before we started working with you, and you brought that creativity. We naturally speak like that, but we may not translate that onto the page, so I need to thank you for that. I actually personally, believe it or not, I don't even know whether I've told you this, but I'm generally presenting that to small clients and huge clients globally 3 times a week.
Wow.
So, you know, we bring up the book, we book a meeting in the team, and it's something that I do as part of trying to inspire organisations. I'm a business owner. I think they can get anybody onto a call. It could be a green team, or it could be the CEO, you know, in America. I've had lots of different people, Adidas, all big, big brands. And yeah, I share our story. I talk about where we measure. It's got that lovely balance of the storytelling and the how we verify everything and what we do, and flip through the pages and talk to them and chat very much like we are. And then as a result of that, they will have picked out the bits that they think are interesting, and that might be a further call with ourselves, or it might be an introduction to somebody else. We give them the book. They, as you say, they can use it as a tool to inspire action within their own organisation. So that's something which is personally and professionally really important and valuable to me.
So to round up, I wonder whether you have a single piece of advice out of all the experience that you have. Is there one particular thing that you would share with organisations who are considering how to take a more purposeful direction in their business?
It's all in your business. That's what I really believe. There's a heart within your business. If you can get people to talk to you, it will unleash an energy and a brightness in their eyes and brains and everything else. So for me, it's about, you don't have to have all the answers. It doesn't matter who you are in the organisation. I don't have all of the answers when it comes to something like this. But there is normally somebody who's really interested in this small bit or who knows somebody or has read something, and open up that knowledge. Because as I said, it's a wonderful way to bring people together. And then it doesn't matter how small, start taking those actions, measure everything, start taking those actions. If you need us to help you measure or some guidance in how you do that, all the figures will be there. We know how to find them very, very quickly. And then just start to work and write and keep a record of everything that you're doing, and then come back to Sarah and say, right, we need to share this with our clients and share this with people who may want to work for us or with us over time.
So people that would like to know more and like to get in touch, how's the best way of them to be able to find you online and to get in touch?
Well, I'm super proud because you were very much part of us writing and building our new website, which is commercial.co.uk. And there's lots of ways within that website to get in touch with us. And we would love to speak to everybody out.
Simone, thank you so much. Yeah. It's been so great to talk to you. And I think what I really feel has come through in our conversation is absolutely the transforming businesses from the inside out.
Yeah.
It's exactly how you have made commercial and your team with such a success.
Yeah.
And it's a great lesson for all of us. So thank you so much for sharing it.
It's an absolute pleasure, and it's lovely to work with you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Target Talks. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Target PR Chats and LinkedIn at Target PR. To find out more about what we do, go to targetgroup.co.uk.
If there are any topics you'd like us to cover or any guests you'd love to hear from, then please get in touch via our social channels.
Bye.